I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Mark Raymond of Frederick Wildman and Sons Wine Distributors, Chris Brosberry of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, senior producer Lori Mack and producer Jonathan McNichol. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
We are all Downton Abbey fans in this room, so we're throwing a Downton Abbey-inspired dinner party here on the Schmooze. The fourth season starts January 5th at 9 p.m. on CPTV, and CPTV is holding a sneak peek screening in advance. So whether you watch or not, we have quite a royal collection of elegant comfort food recipes, really, for you. It's kind of old school oysters, a standing rib roast, salad with Stilton and port dressing. Oh, we have a thick, tangy Devonshire cream with fresh berries, plus champagne and wines to match, thanks to Frederick Wildman and Sons portfolio. All the recipes for an ultimate weekend dinner party are online now, all the ones you're going to hear us talk about in this hour, at WNPR.org. They're there right now. Just search programs for the Faith Middleton Show, and you can see how to make everything we make. Whether you watch Downton Abbey or not, we do, but that's, if you don't, you know, maybe you're the other royal watcher, and that would be Duck Dynasty.
You know, is that the American version?
Yeah. I believe so.
Say so.
Lord Sy.
You know, no matter... So no matter what you watch, if you want to have just once this winter one of those knock your socks off dinners, we have a menu for you. So I think we need something kind of atmospheric in that Downton Abbey style to
yeah, put us in the mood.
There we go.
Oh, forsooth, I feel tragedy is upon me.
Taking us back to
we
the
need
time.
Some kind of, yeah. Oh, it's so, you know, part of it. So lush. So
the period clothing.
Beautiful.
I feel an air of properness about the room now.
You do,
the butler,
do you?
Yeah.
Let me straighten you out.
Yeah, seriously.
Somebody pour me some champagne.
Let me straighten your bow tie, Lord Cranwell. Okay, so here's what we have got for you. We have,
besides the strings,
we have oysters with a champagne vinegar mignonette. We searched the web. We searched high and low to find all kinds of recipes and put them together. Then we tweaked them. We had lots of help from Epicurious and so many other sites online. So we start with oysters with champagne vinegar mignonette. We go to a standing rib roast. We have salad to end the meal. We want to tell you, though, that really what happens in a, what would have happened in a meal like this during this time would be 22 courses. And so we were not up to that. And it would have probably started with caviar. There would have been quail, most likely, some kind of poultry. There would have been soups. There would have been a boiled fish. And as Lori is
fried.
A fried fish. There would have been, and the entree as we know it would have been a kind of, just in the way that pasta is in Italian cooking, it just a kind of stop on the way. Yeah. And then would have come the meats, and the meats wouldn't be just one meat. There would be a collection of meats, so you could have had veal or pork or chicken or, you know, some kind of game,
pheasant.
Venison. Or all of those in one sitting.
Beef, all in one sitting on a big platter. So
turducken. Again, that's our version.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
No, I mean, you're taking us back to a different time, way they ate and the way they were served, too. That's got to be part of it, too, right?
Yeah.
You have a line of the service staff standing behind you, and when the soup is served, you have one person, basically one on one, right? You have, I mean, you look at some of these elaborate dinners where the servants are standing behind you and they serve the soup all at once. So everyone has a little crock that they bring up to the table, and then all at once they ladle each soup into the bowl all at once. So everyone gets their ladle at the same time, and then they step back. So it was like it was orchestrated, almost like theater.
Chris, now Chris, you, one of the reasons you know this, besides doing research, is that in preparation for this show, our Downton Abbey Abbey dinner party on the air. We're going to get to that because we just have risen from the table in actuality. Thanks to Chris Prosperi. He made the meal that we designed using all of our historical research into the Downton Abbey period, and it was ravishing. And so, Chris, but we turned Chris on to the series because, Chris, you hadn't watched this
before. I've never watched it. I've talked to so many people about it, and even in preparing the meal last night, I was standing in the kitchen, and I have people that work for me from 16 years old all the way up into their 50s and 60s, and it brought everyone together in the kitchen, and everyone started
talking.
They
all watch?
Either they all watch or they know some. Like, it started with the 16-year-old apprentice I have from the high school. He's just like, oh, that's my grandmother's favorite show. Now, that's something I kind of expected to hear, but standing next to him was another one of my young cooks who just graduated high school. She's just about to go off to culinary school. And she's like, all my friends get together and watch that show. And then one of my friends and coworkers that watches Duck Dynasty chimes in. And I'm like, you're not supposed to watch this. You watch, you know, the alligator hunter shows. You don't watch Downton Abbey. And he's like, no, it's really cool. Have you seen? And then they start talking about it. And I'm really upset because I'm at the end of season one. So no one talk about what's going on yet. I still need to get somehow, some way, get through two
Chris
and three
up
before this premiere of four.
Time.
I predict spoilers on this.
Yeah. There's a wedding in season three.
Shh,
I know.
But you can get box sets. I know. You know, that's something.
Sounds like
I need
a great Christmas gift.
So for those of us who are into and have been watching this, we're so excited about the premiere of season four. And we're about to explain our menu that we're enjoying here on the Food Schmooze with you. You have a seat at our table, this preview for Downton Abbey. It's possible to go online and to go on demand and watch the previous episodes. And I would dare say that you could probably jump in on season four with just a little tiny bit of background, a little coaching from somebody to know who the characters are. But if you are interested, love this series, as many people do, you can go to CPTV's preview of Downton Abbey's season four on January 3rd. CPTV presents a screening event at the Hartford Marriott downtown, and guests are invited to celebrate with dinner and dancing at the Downton Abbey Masterpiece Ball that we're having, or join us for a complimentary screening only with light refreshments. So go online for more information to cptv.org, and you will see all the various parts that you can go to. So let me just say that across America, people are getting ready for this. If you go online, you will see fans are getting ready with celebratory foods ranging from a simple bowl of popcorn to dinners worthy of the royal gentry. So we spent hours rewatching episodes here on the Food Schmooze to see what was on those platters served at table. And we researched the food of the period to understand what our choices might be for a dinner in the Downton style. I salivated reading about crispy bone-in roasts, oysters on the half-shell, salads with port rind dressing and Stilton cheese, thick English cream. So here we go. We're going to tell you in this hour about our Downton Abbey dinner in case you want to throw a party with friends. And even if you don't watch the show, if you want to just once this winter chip in with people to throw this dinner, because it can be expensive to get a standing rib roast and all the other things that go. We don't expect you to have 22 courses, because Laura, you were saying that part of your research showed that the length of time at the table said something about, I guess, people's wealth, their status.
Right. The more courses that brought you up to the highest level of standing. So it was a real way of showing off the more courses
you
had.
Yes, it was the length of the meal was the fur coat.
Right.
Wow.
The
19th.
Yeah. And it's still that way a little bit, isn't it? When you invite people over, you want to throw your best down, right? Grab the best china you have, grab the best.
Not 22 courses.
Maybe not 22 courses, but you want to, like, you know, when you have special occasions, if you want to show a little bit, right?
Sure.
So I don't think we've lost that 100%. Maybe we've gone down from 22 courses to three, but there's still that feeling.
I don't know if you want to spend spend so much time with certain friends.
Well, those would be the ones you don't want to invite.
Yeah.
But for those who want to represent, here's what we've got for you. We have, and this is all online, we're going to start with champagne that Mark Raymond brought to us. And there are two kinds of champagne. These are both from Paul Roget. These are the champagnes that they truly might have been drinking at Downton Abbey.
Absolutely.
Because these are very popular here now in America. And we have two kinds of Paul Roget for a reason. We're going to explain that to you. And we began with oysters mignonette. So oysters that were broiled with this mignonette sauce. Just beautiful. So, Chris, tell us how you made these oysters.
And again, it's funny because when I saw the recipe, oysters with champagne, vinegar, mignonette, I automatically thought a cold preparation where it was just going to be the shucked oysters with the mignonette on top and then you just suck them down.
And the mignonette is usually red wine, vinegar, and shallots.
Yeah, red wine, vinegar, shallots, and black pepper, right? And, you know, just a very easy mixture. But this one takes us to the period and brings it up a notch, I think. So what you do is you get your shucked oysters.
Any fish market will shuck them for
you,
by the way.
Oh, and listen, I just found out when I picked up my oysters that you can ask for them to be shucked for you and get them on a little tray of ice. I got mine at Gulf Shrimp in Plantsville. But
carry them gently.
Carry them gently.
Because you don't want the liquor. The liquor, that's what it's called, the sauce of the oyster itself, the juice, to pour out, because that's really
the goodness.
Oh, and that's why you build – so you're starting with the recipe. You build a kind of platform. You take a little cookie sheet or a oven-proof pan, and you put salt down. And that salt helps keep the oysters up. That's step one.
Cushions them in place.
Cushions them in place. And then you take a little pat of butter on top of each one and a little salt on top of each one, and they go under the broiler.
Nice.
Right?
So just like that.
Just like that. They don't get crispy. They just get kind of warm through.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they come out, you top them with your mignonette. The mignonette is the mixture of champagne vinegar, shallots, ground black pepper. And in this one, it has a little pinch of sugar and a little bit of fresh parsley.
Huh.
So again, and that's not classic, but that's a good.
So the pinch of sugar is, I mean, it's the tiniest pinch. That is a very interesting thing to do because it cuts the acidity a bit, and that helps it match with the champagne better, I think. It's not so much that it overpowers the salinity of the oyster, which is, and that minerality, which is so beautiful. So again, our recipe is online. Quickly,
and then there's one last step, and you take, and this was the beauty of it, you take grapes, and they suggest champagne grapes, or you can use red seedless, and you dice them up very finely, and then right before you serve them, you put the little diced grapes on top.
And there's a touch of sweetness in those grapes and a touch of acidity, which is going to match our champagne beautifully. All right, we're going to tell you about what champagne. This champagne was so good that it actually worked against the standing rib roast. I wasn't sure I wanted to have the Bordeaux because I didn't want to stop drinking this champagne. And these are all, you know, reasonably affordable considering that this is a true champagne from the Champagne region. The rage in England and a rage here for lots and lots of people. So we're going to get to that after we take our break, and we're going to tell you how to do the standing rib roast and the dessert and the salad with a port wine sauce. On the standing rib roast, we have a Madeira peppercorn sauce. And, oh, it was
so good.
Swooning delicious. I'm Faith Middleton. I hope you'll make a charitable contribution to Feed the Hungry, more mouthwatering conversation, and our Downton Abbey dinner fund here on the Food Schmooze. We'll be right back. Season 4 of Downton Abbey is upon us. It's coming January 5th. I'm Faith Middleton. The Food Schmooze Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. You can join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. We want to say thanks to everybody on the show, our producers, Lori Mack and Jonathan McNichol, and to Mark Raymond of Frederick Wildman and Sons. We're having a Downton Abbey celebratory dinner here on the Food Schmooze. It is so much fun. Thank you to Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant, because the menu we designed, in case you want to have a Downton Abbey dinner party, is online right now at WNPR.org. Search the Faith Middleton Show. Chris Prosperi made this meal. We have just risen from the table. In fact, we have the champagne by our sides. What a meal it has been. I can assure you this will be delicious. Whether you listen to the show and watch the show or not, if you want to have one of those blowout meals some weekend this winter, what fun this will be. Standing rib roast. You can chip in with your neighbors to do this. It doesn't have to be expensive. We know during the day of Downton Abbey, they would have had about 22 courses, at least 20, because the longer you spend at table, the more status you had. And so people spend a long time at table. So we wanted to also let you know that if you're a Downton Abbey fan, CPTV is going to have a preview of the opening night, the preview of season 4. It's a screening event at the Hartford Marriott downtown on January 3rd. Guests are invited to celebrate with dinner and dancing at the Downton Abbey Masterpiece Ball, or just join us for a complimentary screening with light refreshments. It's up to you how you put the package together. For more information, go to cptv.org, cptv.org, and you'll see the box, and you can pick a menu for yourself. Okay, we just had oysters mignonette. We're going to go on to our standing rib roast next with the roasted potatoes and all of that. Again, all the wines, everything, the meal, the recipes online for you. Mark Raymond from Frederick Wildman and Sons, you brought us the classic champagne that people truly in this day would have been drinking and are still drinking today. This is one of my favorites. Paul Roget. You brought us two kinds. This is about, what, $50 a bottle?
About $50 a bottle, yep.
Okay. Yep. From the Champagne region. So one is the silver label and one is the white label.
So I chose two
silver
Paul
foil
Roget,
and white foil.
Silver foil and then the white foil. The white foil, Paul Roget, is the one that most people have come to know and love and served at the royal wedding of Will and Kate. That is their house cuvee. That is their traditional style. It's very elegant. It's got beautiful, lush notes of pear and green apple and toastiness on the finish. It's just so elegant. And then what I brought, which I thought was a little bit more typical of maybe the period of Downton Abbey, is Paul Roget Pure. Paul Roget Pure has no dosage. This is a style that is very British. It's very crisp. When I say no dosage, they don't add additional sugar at time of disgorgement. So it is just as pure as it can be. It's all
Grapes.
It's all lovely grapes. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more green apple crispness. Mm-hmm. It's a little lighter in color.
More acidic.
I love it with oysters. This, to me, is a perfect pairing for oysters.
Lots of times we would go to a certain set of white wines for oysters because there's that salinity in them. And so you will see people turning to things like Muscadet, several other whites. And so this Paul Roget that you're talking about, this
the pure,
the silver foil, has that kind of Bone dry.
For people who really like super dry champagne, they will love that style.
Yeah.
People who are looking
really
for things a little more richness,
it's
a little more
price,
roundness.
By the way.
Exact
yeah.
same price, yeah.
So, but the rounder, richer, creamier one is the white foil.
The white foil,
and
the
you can get these in our listening area, either one.
Yes,
absolutely. And if your shop doesn't have it, you just say Frederick Wildman and Sons. And again, it's online at WNPR.org. Search word faith. They were great. This was great with
the
oysters.
Unbelievable.
Both of them, actually.
But you know, I'm just sitting here thinking, does this date back to their time? Was there a, like, 1910 vintage that they were drinking at that table?
Oddly enough, the last time I visited Paul Roget, we opened up a bottle of 1914.
So that's so, that period.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Wow. So, yeah. So as we're drinking this, right, thinking back to that time, they very well could have had a bottle of this on their table.
And absolutely.
And Chris, you're the one who pointed out to us that Escoffier, you know, one of the
great
legend in food, was operating in that period. And so French food had made its way to Britain.
Yeah.
And people of a certain classes were very interested in being sophisticated. And so they were, you know, as Thomas Jefferson was, they were interested in things
the
in France and
dinners
the multi-course dinners.
And, yeah.
And so here we have this Paul Roger from the Champagne region of France. And so they were absolutely drinking this across England.
And at the time, the house only made one style of wine. There wasn't the rosé, and there was just every house made one style.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
It'd be nice to get a – how was the 1914?
It was unbelievable. I'll tell you what. I thought for sure it would be sort of flabby, a little dead. It had amazing acidity still, and the bubbles were just fantastic.
Think about it. It was bottled in that – I mean, when that wine was put in the bottle, it was in that time period. And what was going on that show right now and what you're seeing on the dinner tables and stuff, that was going on as a wine like that was being bottled. It's just – that's the kind of stuff that's really cool about food, wine, and this kind of show, watching this kind of show and seeing that history, that there's still wine out there from that time period.
Right. You know, let me say about the Downton Abbey series, why we think it's interesting, because it is fun if you're into food to watch what's going on in the kitchen with the rich relationships of the people who are on staff, and, you know, the drama of their lives, and then of the drama of the people, you know, so-called upstairs. But there are so many political issues in the show. You know, there's the issue of money, the working class versus the upper class. And you can see we're at that moment in history where there's a working class sensibility about nobility of the working class. And we see that the upper classes, life is changing for them. Can they hold on to their property and money? And what is the meaning of life for them if they lose it all? We see a striving in the underclasses as they are rising up and having more personal power and more political power. We see women on the cusp of changing and being more daring, and their family members being horrified by the things they're doing sexually and personally.
Yeah, and you know what? I watch, and all this stuff that you just said, a lot of it comes out at the dinner table. Right? You're talking back in a time where these families lived together in these big houses, right? And how many generations lived together? And, you know, and they were huge properties. So you didn't see each other all day long. But at dinner, everyone sat down together at a specific time for a specific meal. And like Laurie said, a long period of time. So you had time to discuss politics and religion and class and all these things.
And gossip.
And that's what you see in these scenes.
More
importantly. And I think that's what I like watching the dinner scenes. It's not just about the food, right? It's about the dinner conversations that go on.
In fact, let's continue with our dinner here on the show, because we thought it would be fun to have, as they might have had. They might have had venison. They might have had a pork, a veal, game meats of all kinds, in fact. We decided that we would have one of the things they might have had at Downton Abbey, and that is a standing rib roast, bone-in. Beautiful to see those bones standing up as that thing is roasting. And so we have the recipe for you at our website right now at WNPR.org. Search the Faith Middleton Show on programs, and it will take you right to this recipe. So our standing rib roast, Chris made it for us, has a Madeira green peppercorn sauce. Madeira is a gorgeous dessert wine, and you don't have to get the most expensive one for drinking to make this. And green peppercorns are available now in any supermarket. And so, Chris, tell us about first what you did with the roast. Our menu online serves 6 to 8 people, but, you know, these roasts are pretty hefty.
Yeah. So it all depends on your portion size, right? Depending on how much you serve.
So on the outside of the standing rib roast, what did you put?
Whenever I do either a roast, it doesn't have to be a standing rib roast. Even if I'm going to do a roast beef, what I like to do is lots of herbs. So I take about 1/4 cup of parsley and 2 tablespoons of fresh herbs, you know, whether it's oregano, rosemary, sage, whatever. And I chop that up nice and fine, and I mix it with a boatload of garlic. And
this so one, 6 to 8 cloves.
Yeah, and I mince that up fine, and I almost then I mix in about 1 tablespoon of olive oil, almost make like a paste. And I take that and
or vegetable oil,
or vegetable oil. Yeah, and I just take that and I rub it around the outside of the roast.
And salt, lots of salt and pepper.
Yeah, 2 tablespoons of salt for a 6-pound rib roast, and 1 teaspoon of black pepper.
And now the cooking and roasting is you preheat the oven at 425, and the roast goes in for about 15 minutes that way. Then you lower it to 350. So for a roast this size, 6 pounds, it would be about 1.5 hours. You want it to be at an internal temperature of about 125, 130. That's kind of mid-rare.
Yeah.
And it was perfectly done as you slice into that.
Oh. And remember, whenever doing roasts, just as important cooking temperature as resting time. So when it comes out of the oven, just let it sit. Go do other things. Get your other courses prepared. Don't be afraid to sit this on in a nice warm place and just let it sit and rest for, I mean, a 6 pound roast. You can let that rest for 15, 20 minutes, half hour, and the juice is redistributed. That way, when you slice it, it's medium rare top to bottom, and you don't have the big red in the middle, and it's, the juices start running the second
that's
you
the
slice
trick.
It. Rest,
okay.
rest, rest.
So then we had this Madeira green peppercorn sauce with this that was so luscious. So, and this is something that we borrowed from Epicurious. And so you would use olive oil or vegetable oil, some chopped shallots, a little bit of cooking Madeira wine. You can buy veal or beef demi-glace in just about any supermarket now. It's in Stop and Shop. The green peppercorns also in Stop and Shop, about a teaspoon of them, and a little tiny bit of butter, a teaspoon of butter.
At the end.
And that just goes into...
Yeah, you just simmer. You simmer those things together and then finish it with butter at the end. And note that the peppercorns come in a can. They're in a brine, so they're not in the section with all the herbs and spices. You find those more with like the condiment-y kind of things, mustards and hot sauces and stuff, and you'll see a little can. And they're great, and they last a long time in your refrigerator. Just leave them in that brine. Use a little bit in this, but then whenever you're doing a roast or a grilled steak, it's a great peppercorn to have. And it's funny because I'm starting to think about where these come from, the time period again. Madeira wine, right? Is this something that would have been on the table or in the
absolutely
pantry, right? Or in the wine cellar in a home like this? Yes. And, you know, the English Empire, Madagascar, where a lot of the peppercorns come from, right? This is all part of
the
English history. So it really does, this menu really does tie that whole time period together.
And for those who don't know the story of Madeira, this is as the story goes, this wine was coming over on the boats and without people thinking about it, caught in the sun, and it baked and baked and baked. And when it arrived on the distant shore, people thought, well, this is ruined. You know, let's say you arrive in England. This is ruined. This is baked. And somebody decides to taste this junk in these barrels and says, this is delicious. Madeira wine is an amazing thing because it lasts forever in the bottle. It's gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. So I encourage you to...
Makes a great cooking tool.
It really does. Yeah. Okay, so now we've got our standing rib roast, which is a rib steak, really, essentially.
Oh, yeah, and then one more thing you want to do is I found in... You can find these in all the grocery stores, bags of baby potatoes now. They come already in like a 2 pound bag.
Take
those baby potatoes, give them a nice wash, and put them in the pan with the rib roast.
Jonathan and I were fighting over those.
Yes.
Yeah. So they basically roast the fat comes out of the rib roast, goes into the pan, and that's what bastes the potatoes. And then as I was checking the rib roast, you know, to temperature and stuff, every once in a while you give the little pan a shake that the rib roast is in, you know, get the potatoes moving so they flip.
Would you throw in some pearl onions
and
some
carrots? Sure. Brussels sprouts this
time
of year.
Root vegetables, turnips. Okay. So here's what we had. This would be traditional in the time of Downton Abbey. When you're watching the show, you'll see that at table, people are drinking claret. So, and claret is the English word for Bordeaux, really. Right. So this is the red that would be served with a standing rib roast. And so we asked Mark Raymond to give us one to try to see. And so we came up with this. We thought this was luscious and so affordable. What is this, about $15 a bottle?
$15 a bottle. It's a great Bordeaux for that price.
So Chateau Saint, or let's do it this way, Chateau Saint Sulpice. S-U-L-P-I-C-E, Sulpice. Chateau House, Saint Sulpice. And this is 2010. It's a Bordeaux, B-O-R-D-E-A-U-X, from the Bordeaux region of France, and beautiful with beef, Mark.
Oh, yeah, fantastic with beef.
It's such a good value.
This is a little property, family-owned, just outside of Saint-Emilion. It's 70% Merlot, 20% Cabernet, 10% Cabernet Franc.
So the high Merlot gives it a softness.
Oh, that rich, round, it's just silkiness.
And yet it has a structure that stands up to beef. And it does that thing we call that sort of teabaggy thing on your tongue, on the sides of your tongue, kind of dryness there. And that's what makes it work against the roast. Beautiful, beautiful. And $15 a bottle, you can't beat it for a good quality Bordeaux. So that's called Chateau Saint Sulpice, S-U-L-P-I-C-E. If it's not on your wine shelf at your shop, just say to them, Frederick Wildman and Sons, and they will know then who the distributor is and be able to look it up in the book. And that's on our website at WNPR.org. Search programs for the Faith Middleton Show. We're coming up to a break, and then we're going to tell you what came next, because in the true English and European style, now comes salad, and wow, do we have a salad for you with a port wine dressing,
oh, yeah.
Stilton cheese, figs. Oh, so, so good. And we have a dessert wine for you, and dessert. So if you're not a Downton Abbey fan, we're celebrating the start of that series, which is January 5th on CPTV at 9 p.m. We also have a pre-screening CPTV is doing in Hartford. We'll tell you about that after our break. I'm Faith Middleton with the gang, and we'll be right back with our Downton Abbey dinner party on the Fooch-Moos. Can't you see Maggie Smith sweeping into the room? Why did they kill off that handsome man? Why?
I can't stand it
that they did that.
Spoiler alert. Don't do that. I'm only on the beginning of season one.
All right. Here we are. We are having a Downton Abbey dinner party on the Fooch-Moos, thanks to Chris Brusbury and to Mark Raymond, bringing in wines and the dinner that we have designed for you, all the recipes online. And if you are a Downton Abbey fan, even if you're not, if you don't watch the series, what a fun dinner party this would be to have. Chip in with friends to do this. We want to let you know that if you would like to preview Downton Abbey Season 4 on January 3rd, CPTV is presenting a screening event at the Hartford Marriott downtown. Guests are invited to celebrate with dinner and dancing at the Downton Abbey Masterpiece Ball, or you can join us for a complimentary screening with light refreshments. You kind of get to design your own menu. So for more information, go to cptv.org. I am with Mark Raymond of Frederick Wildman and Sons, the wine distributor, Chris Busberry of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, the producers Jonathan McNichol and Lori Mack, and we are having our Downton Abbey dinner party celebration. All the recipes we have taken, if you're just joining us, we have taken you through the appetizer of oysters mignonette. These were just lightly roasted with this beautiful little sauce on them. Then we went to our roast. In the time of Downton Abbey, they would have had 22 courses and quail and whatnot beforehand. But we went straight to our standing rib roast with roasted potatoes. So delicious. And we're going to go now to our salad with a Stilton cheese, figs, and a port wine dressing on that salad. So delicious. But first, I would love for you to hear this. Here is something from PBS. They asked the producers what it is like to do the filming. So much of what happens at Downton Abbey happens at the table, Mark. And so here's a clip from PBS with the producers talking about this.
The dining room scenes certainly, you know, are very intricate.
As any DP, director and production manager will tell you, they are complicated.
They're very important scenes. They're pivotal in the drama because it is the main occasion when people in a family or any kind of society can come together and discuss things while they're eating a meal.
It's definitely one of the more grueling parts of shooting Downton Abbey because you have to cover every single character at that table, and so you have to do it over and over and over again. There are no shortcuts.
It's all to do with eye lines. You can't just sort of put one camera on and two cameras on and hope for the best.
And you have two lines looking to the person to your left, two lines to the person opposite you.
Everyone's looking down and looking at different people around the table. And
every single one of these shots, every single one of these angles has to be covered, so they're very time-consuming.
All the food has to be brought out and it has to look hot, or, you know, the continuity of that is a minefield.
In season one, we, I think, learned our lesson because I think we had some quail or something like that, which, you know, starting shooting at 8, by 3 p.m, that quail's fairly manky.
I come in through the door into that dining room with all the lights going and all that fish on the table and 20 actors and 30 crew all in the room. It can be a slightly rank smell.
Oh, my God.
Fish, for example, is slightly off the menu.
I think we need to have manky as one of our
yes,
words.
I love that word.
We
love that
need
word.
To use it every day.
If you,
well,
if
you probably shouldn't use that word a lot, Chris, all right, in your restaurant.
If you doubt that this thing is wild, this Downton Abbey premiere and this series, there is a Downton Abbey tea truck that has been cruising through New York, serving tea off the truck to get people ready for the start of the series on January
5th. That's such a cool
idea.
All through New York. I mean, can you imagine
tea
major
time,
cities
down on your
across?
Stoop, please.
So fantastic. And I know, Mark, you've recently been to Tea Time in Boston.
Yeah.
And it was a lovely thing, huh?
It was a cool thing. My wife decided just out of the blue she wanted to have tea at like 3 in the afternoon. So we asked the concierge and like, oh, yeah, right around the corner at this restaurant, Le Spalier, they have tea time, high noon. They have it at high noon and then they have it at
4 o'clock.
And so we went over and had some tea, crumpets. It was awesome.
Come on, beautiful. The Waldorf Astoria.
Yeah.
You have to. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You got to have that on your list of things to have tea
exactly.
at the Astoria.
The bucket list.
So
and
here's
the plaza
here's
has
what,
it, too.
Yeah. Yes, and here's what we had. We had a, for our Downton Abbey dinner here on the show, and we give you the recipe, fig and Stilton salad with a port wine dressing. Oh, that Stilton is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And you don't, it's so rich. You don't need very much of it. It's a little bit expensive, so you can, you know, again, we encourage you to chip in with your friends or neighbors to do this dinner because it is such a delight to have a meal like this.
And you want to get a real Stilton for this because, again, time period, English, it is one of the traditional English cheeses dating back to the 18th century. So would have been
soft.
Yeah, would have been something on their table, right?
Beautiful, yes.
Same Stilton made today, right?
Port.
Made in that same way, traditional, and that's what we're eating today.
And our port wine dressing, this is from our friends at Epicurious. This was because when we were searching and researching for the show, we thought this was a great recipe, Mark. So ruby port, dry red wine, little vegetable oil, balsamic vinegar. You could use hazelnut or walnut oil, a touch of sugar, red wine vinegar, Worcestershire sauce, a little touch of molasses, onion powder, and then figs, your greens, and the Stilton cheese. And so you're making your dressing, and it was just
and
a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's a cool way of doing a dressing. They actually cook this dressing. So they put the ingredients in the bowl of a blender and blend it. Then they take that vinaigrette, put it in a little saucepan with the figs.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool. Remember, dried figs.
Drunken figs.
So they put it in with the figs, and then they basically reduce it down till it gets to a bit of a syrupy consistency, and then let it cool slightly, but not all the way, and then dress your greens so it's like a warm. And then, of course, remember, your cheese is on those greens, so you have the warm dressing.
Wasn't that delicious?
It was,
I'm telling you. And, Mark, this is a wonderful thing. Now, at the table at Downton Abbey, in this day, this is exactly what they would have been doing, and we can do this, too, because this is widely available in our area. You brought a wonderful port, widely available from Frederick Wildman and Sons, the distributor. This is Churchill's.
It's one of the newer houses, but Johnny Graham, the owner, goes back to one of the original families, the Graham's Port House. And this is just a traditional ruby port. You could get it in your retail store for about, I don't know, $15, $20, 500 milliliter bottle, which is perfect size.
So $15, $20 is a wonderful price point for port as a dessert wine. There are some of these that can be $100 a bottle. So this is a real deal. And there is a kind of a deep elegance to this one at this price point. Sometimes at this price point, they're a little sweet,
right.
And this doesn't do that. It's
Churchill's
beautiful.
Tends to be a little less sweet than the commercial brands or things that a lot of people know, and that's what I love about it. It still has that sweetness to it, which you expect from port, but just not as syrupy sweet.
Beautiful with the Stilton.
Beautiful,
you
know, plum and red berries. It's just so luscious.
And so we had this port with what comes next, because after salad, we went to one of the traditional desserts that they might have at Downton Abbey. They would probably have had some kind of pudding custardy thing. Mm-hmm. And then they would have had cookies and cake and probably ice cream. They did ice cream sculpture back in the day with no refrigeration. I don't know how. But we did the fresh berries that they would have served with a Devonshire cream. And Chris, what is that cream?
It's clotted cream, which is basically a heavy, a thick cream that you serve basically on desserts or sweets. It's hard to find here. You can get it online.
And specialty food stores.
But the cool thing about it is it has a little bit of a sweetness to it almost. And that's why it pairs well with desserts. And it's very thick and just luscious.
So great with berries. Mm-hmm. People would have served in the time of Downton Abbey berries, maybe a cake,
oh, it's
a
good
cookie,
with everything.
Ice cream.
Yeah.
You can have it with ice cream, whatever you want to do. A little touch of this port with your dessert. Oh, what a meal this is.
Remember that the 22 courses that Lori was talking about, that's not 21 up until dessert and then 22 is dessert, right?
No.
Oh, no.
Four of them are dessert.
Yeah, four, maybe even five could have been dessert courses, right? Always a warm dessert, ice cream, cookies and truffles and chocolates.
So in the time of Downton Abbey, each course seemed to have many parts to it. In other words, soup would be two kinds of soup. There would be a clear soup and a cream soup. The fish course that would come next, there'd be a poached fish, or what they would call it, a boiled fish, and then there would be a fried fish, and then there would be a platter of different kinds of meats. But before we get to that, there might have been lobster and there might have been oysters.
And you know what the cool part of that is? It even gets even more intricate, because there was a specific piece of silverware in these homes for each one of those courses you said.
How did they live past 35? That's what I don't know. I mean, I can't even understand.
No, even Lori found in their research it was small courses, right? You wouldn't have a bowl of each soup.
But 22 courses.
Yeah.
That's like a bite of each thing.
22 small courses is still a lot of food. But in any case, it leaves a lot of time for gossiping, for drama at the table.
Fighting.
And you know there was plenty. There are fights at the table. Mm. Downton Abbey is an incredible drama. And we are having a Downton Abbey dinner party here on the air on the Food Schmooze to celebrate the coming start of the season and to inspire you. If you are a fan, season 4 starts on January 5th and at 9 p.m. on CBTV. And we encourage you, if you want to chip in with your friends and have a Downton Abbey dinner party or just a bowl of popcorn, that's fine too. Just have fun. And if you haven't seen back episodes, you certainly can see them online and you can see them on demand. And if you are a fan, we know many people are, you have probably heard about the truck that is cruising through New York, the Downton Abbey tea truck, to get excitement going for the start of the series. I've never seen a promotion campaign like this. It's really
I want to start a back episode party club. Like we'll meet Thursday night at my house, and we're somewhere in the middle of season
one. Good idea.
And we'll just every week watch one or two.
Binge watching.
And you can, then that way you can catch up and get right into season four.
Will there be food and wine?
There will be food and wine.
All right.
If
then
you
I'm
come,
in.
There'll be wine.
That's a club word. Okay.
I'm in.
And we have Doobie McDowell sent us over a box of chocolate. So we pulled those out too. Thank you.
Is that where it came from?
Yeah, Doobie.
And this is one of our courses.
So, Doobie, you have a chair at our table for our Downton Abbey dinner party.
This is one of our courses.
Yes, this followed our
chocolate.
Chris is still having that course.
Yes, I am.
Chris, who says I don't need dessert.
These are Munson chocolates. Okay, so Downton Abbey dinner party. It started with our oysters. Some folks would have started during the days of Downton Abbey probably with caviar. Mm-hmm. And then we skipped the quail and we went to our 6-bone rib roast, standing rib roast with a Madeira green pepper corn sauce. And then we did a fig Stilton port wine salad. which was so, so good, and roasted potatoes that were roasted in the beef fat. And then we went to our Devonshire cream, which is a sweet, thick cream, English cream you can get in specialty food stores. You could use regular cream or whipped cream if you like. And then the wines to match, all of this on our website, by the way. We had Paul Roger, P-O-L, R-O-G-E-R. They make it in two versions, an extra, extra dry called Pure Paul Roger. And then there's the Paul Roger, which is the traditional. It's a little rounder and smoother. This is the Paul Roger Reserve. This is about $50 a bottle. We had with our standing rib roast Chateau Saint-Sulpice, S-U-L-P-I-C-E, 2010 Bordeaux. It is heavy on the Merlot and then Cabernet Franc and Cabernet Sauvignon. A beautiful blend, beautiful against a standing rib roast, about $15 a bottle, an incredible bargain as a Bordeaux, a good quality Bordeaux. You know, hearing the theme song, I'm excited about the start of the series.
Ready for season four.
I really am. You know, and it will be more of the same. The question is, who are they going to bring into the series this time? We had Shirley MacLaine, who entered the season the last time, and I bet there will be some surprises. They have to keep some surprises.
And where are we, season four? Pre-World War One? Are we in the early?
It's post, right?
It's post.
It's the 20s.
It's
after. Yeah.
Oh, wait, we're in the 20s.
Yes. A lot of people now have come home or
no
not
kidding.
Come home from the war.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
You see families changing. You see all of society changing.
Yeah.
I'm sure we will see women taking on more power.
Yeah.
We'll see a fight over whether they can keep this property or not.
And this really does follow a true history of a family in England, right?
Yes.
Very cool.
And apparently this castle now.
Well, kind
is
of loosely follows.
Yeah, loosely, yeah, loosely follows. That's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
But still, it's based on traditional fact or
it's
historical
a different building
fact.
And, yeah.
Different everything, actually.
Well, yeah.
No, but
there were people.
But the building isn't.
Then.
No, seriously, isn't the building a resort now that people take
it is one of the,
trips
one
and
of
vacations
the most
to?
Visited spots in
right?
the world.
So, Jonathan, it was a real place, not
right.
the one on television, but.
This is the trajectory of these manor houses.
Yep, gotcha.
I mean, there are still people in all countries of the world who have these manor houses that are trying to find ways. You know, you see these Venetian palaces, and they're renting them out to groups that are coming into Venice to afford to keep them. These are very, you know, important families that are trying to find ways to afford the houses, these grand houses that they own. And we see this across England. You know, we see castles just lying fallow and people coming along who are newly wealthy and buying these up and trying to bring them back. And we know how this story ends.
Yes.
And for the downstairs people, the staff, incredible drama, amazing, amazing stories, just remarkable people.
That's probably the reason why it's popular with so many different types of people. It does have something for everyone, right?
Well, it's humanity. It's the humanity of people, rich and poor, that is, I think, unifying in the show. Mm-hmm. Listen, whether you watch Downton Abbey or not, maybe you're not a Downton Abbey watcher, we think that this dinner party, if I had never seen an episode of this, I had a ball.
This is the type of eating and drinking that I love to do.
Yeah.
You said early in the show it's comfort food. It really is. I mean,
sure.
You wouldn't think that looking at the show necessarily with all the servants and the silverware and everything, but it is. It's a big hunk of beef and there's some potatoes and
And
Jonathan went right down.
It warms you right up.
First of all, thank you, Mark Raymond from Frederick Wildman
and Sons.
If you're asking for any of the wines that we've been talking about during the show, the distributors, Frederick Wildman and Sons. The champagne is around $50 and an incredible bargain on the Bordeaux, $15. And same on the port, the Churchill's port. Thank you, Chris Prosperi, for making every part of our Downton Abbey dinner. It was
so
delicious. You
were
so generous to do this
spot
for us.
On.
And Jonathan and Lori, thank you so much. If you would like to preview Downton Abbey's season 4 opener, CPTV is having a screening event on January 3rd at the Hartford Marriott downtown. Guests are invited to celebrate with dinner and dancing at the Downton Abbey Masterpiece Ball. You can come in costume if you want or not. You can also opt to join us for a complimentary screening with light refreshments. So you get to choose your menu of activities. For more information, go to cptv.org. Again, to have our dinner, whether you watch or not, all of our recipes are online at WNPR.org. Search programs for the Faith Middleton Show. The Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9 p.m., Saturdays at noon. We're online anytime. You can find the recipes, food products, restaurants, wines, easy cocktails we feature at WNPR.org. Here's to pleasure, my friends, and remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.